Caroline, Willie, D-Base, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. Tim Hasselbeck will join us in 1 hour. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans draft and the NFL draft as a whole. D-Mace, Willie D, happy Tuesday. How we doing?
Hey, happy Tuesday. I'm doing great.
I am doing well. I got pep in my step today.
Oh.
The USN Tigers got the win last night.
All right. Okay. Let's go, Mahoney Donahue.
Yep, they have moved on to the district championship game tonight against a really, really good team. But this is, I will say this about USN baseball. It makes me pretty proud because.
One, because.
Derek, I will say this.
One, because Mahoney's on there.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But he's part of a group of guys for baseball specifically. That there is not rich history for USN baseball. It is traditionally not.
Jared Stillman would beg to differ. The glory days of USN baseball.
We can bring
baseball.
Jared on to talk about this. He knows the history of USN baseball, but it is the first time they have ever made it to the division to the district finals. So kids don't go there for baseball. Yeah. Like, I'm not going to say anything about Ensworth and some of the schools around here. I mean, Brentwood Academy.
Hey, let's call it what it is, man.
Well, they have tremendous athletic programs, and it is part of the portfolio, right? USN is not that, but they still have some excellent athletics here and there. That's what I like about it. It's not a factory. You're not going to go out there and have 50 guys that are competing for 10 spots or anything. But it's a group of guys that have been playing together really a lot since they were in – 6th, 7th grade. It's basically the same group of guys. So I'm pretty proud of them. So they did a really nice job last night, beat a really good team. So it's fun. So they're going to be around to the regional tournament this weekend. And so tonight we'll see what happens at GCA, probably the class of the district. So
well,
the
this
best team
will forever go down in history. They will have, you know, anniversaries about this team. And I'm serious. You think I'm lying? I'm playing. But no, because they have went further than any other team has.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're the first.
So it's pretty cool. And hopefully they're not done. Hopefully they're not done. Next week's even the next level, right? Regionals, and then who knows? Who knows? We'll see what happens.
Probably walking around campus with their chest pumped out, heads held high, kings of the campus.
Yeah.
Congratulations to Mahoney.
In the words of Kevin Garnett, anything is possible.
That's right.
Anything is possible. Congratulations to the USN Tigers. We will all be cheering loud for them tonight. And as they go on through the rest of the postseason, just heard Mike Vrabel on Chase and Michelle, and you can catch that on your preferred podcast platform. You can find it on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook Live, Twitch. Mike Vrabel in an awfully chipper mood this morning.
Not. It was early. He sounded like he still had.
He hasn't
little,
been sleeping much. I don't.
Sounded
think.
Like he had a, still
no
had a little
more of this.
Sleep
Ran and Mike Vrabel were tired nonsense.
Even though he wasn't asleep, I'm sure he's.
I'm sure
he's probably
slept.
Been up since like 5 o'clock this morning. So
I don't think he's slept since like 2017.
Yeah, probably not. I mean, you don't get much sleep when you're head coach.
Get paid well, though.
You get paid well, but hair gets gray very fast. So, before any after, Mike Vrabel before he took the job, Mike Vrabel after.
It's
five, seven years later,
the presidents at the beginning of their tenure and then at the end.
Oh, I'm telling you, I used to think that way about Rick Pitino. Like when Rick Pitino started the coach to Kentucky, he looked a certain way. He was a young coach, you know. He'd already been a coach for a while, but man. It seems like it ages you fast, those jobs.
Oh,
being the head coach of a, you know, high-level, high-intensity kind of situation, it does put the stress on you.
Oh, yeah. That it does.
Absolutely it does. And he's been feeling it. He will be feeling it even more now that they have found their quarterback of the future. And we will get into all things Will Levis, not just today, but for the next few months. So everybody get excited for that. But I wanted to break down Joe Rexroad's recent column in The Athletic. And this came out Friday night, the night of the draft. I just saw it this morning. But I wanted to get your thoughts on Joe's thoughts, his opinions on the Titans selection, taking Will Levis with the 33rd overall pick in the second round. Joe writes this: what a value it would be, as strange as it is, for the Titans to, quote-unquote, take a flyer on a quarterback past the first round for the second straight year. Of course, as we know, Titans took Malik Willis as kind of a flyer in the third round in the 2022 draft. Joe writes, Will Levis be long for Nashville and actually end up better than the good quarterback the Titans have now, Ryan Tannehill? It's possible, yes. Likely, no. So Joe's thinking that Will Levis will not be able to at least meet or exceed what Ryan Tannehill has achieved so far in his career with the Tennessee Titans.
But the way I interpret that is that's just playing the percentages of quarterbacks who get picked. Mm. I mean, I would love to – you did your homework on mock drafts, right? You went through 5 or 6 years of first-round mock drafts and see, you know, of all the people that do this, who's had the best overall success.
Right.
I would have to say that Will Levis – I mean, being picked in the second round, we've named off the top of our heads some second-round quarterbacks who are really, really good, Jalen Hurts, Drew Brees, et cetera. But I would have to say that if you did a study of the history of second-round picks, you would have the likelihood of that guy being an excellent starting quarterback year after year is low. It's well below 50%, so that's the only thing I said. I don't think that's anything about Will Levis. It's got nothing to do with Will Levis. It's just the history of second-round picks.
But I
that's
guess,
how I look at it anyway.
I guess it all depends on, you know, how do you look at that guy or what are the expectations of that guy? Because just like first-rounders, a lot of people tend to think that, okay, if you are a first-round, let's just say quarterback, if you are a first-round quarterback and you don't take your team to the Super Bowl, you're not a Hall of Fame type of guy, then you've been a bust. Mm-hmm. That's how people are starting to – it's either feast or famine. Anything else, we don't care about. Where in actuality, it's more of these guys are good than great. There's only a few that are going to be considered – great. And I'm not just I'm talking about great in the sense of you are the best, like you are the top 4 or 5 best ever. There's only a few quarterbacks that are going to be able to hold that mantle or sit on that mantle. The rest of them are good quarterbacks or okay quarterbacks. And then obviously you have your quarterbacks that are just not good. If you look at the history of this league, it's Kirk Cousins. This is what the league is more times than not. And that's a good quarterback. But because we see what Patrick Mahomes does, or we see what Joe Burrow has been able to do, or Tom Brady, or Aaron Rodgers, then all of a sudden we think, well, every quarterback you draft in the first round need to be like those guys. Mm-hmm. Well, Tom wasn't drafted in the first round. Aaron Rodgers was a late first rounder. The only two guys that were sort of high was Burrow and Mahomes. And Mahomes went, what, 10th? 11th, somewhere around that. And that's still high. Don't get me wrong. That's high. But we look at these quarterbacks as either feast or famine.
Right.
If you ain't winning the Super Bowl, if you ain't getting your team to a Super Bowl, just like Lamar. Lamar has been a damn good quarterback, but people say, well, he hasn't achieved anything. You know, he's underachieved. By whose standards? Everybody can't be that top guy, no matter what. The NFL is full of good guys, good players. And then you have some players that are game-changing players. Mm-hmm. That's just the way it is. There are more good players in this league than there are game-changing players. Right or wrong?
100%.
So I think
especially quarterbacks.
I think when we look at these quarterbacks, we got to start looking at them from the prism of not Patrick Mahomes, not Aaron Rodgers, not Joe Burrow, but from Kirk Cousins, Matthew Stafford, quarterbacks like that. Matthew had to leave a team and go to another team just to get into the Super Bowl. Does that mean he was horrible before he got to the Rams? No. He wasn't. He was a really good quarterback, but because of the circumstances, he couldn't get his team to the Super Bowl or playoff.
And that's the difficult thing, and I do think that there's a good bit of unfairness of you get into the league and instantly you're going to be compared to Joe Burrow, who went number one overall, or Patrick Mahomes, or Josh Allen, or some of the best quarterbacks in the league. But it's almost like if you're a young quarterback coming into the AFC, that has to be the point of comparison because that's going to be who you're going to have to beat.
But that's not fair. I don't think it's fair sometimes. I just think some people, you mentioned the word, expectations. Mm-hmm. And I do think because Will Levis was talked about as being as high as a top five pick,
yeah,
he's gonna have that reputation, when in reality he is a second round pick. So I think we should manage the expectations. I think I would like for people to know the history. This will be interesting for Tim to talk about, yeah, when we get Tim on. But if you look at the history, in the next segment, I would love to read you the list since 2000 of the second quarterbacks picked in the second round.
Yeah.
And we will do our own assessment of what we think a realistic expectation is for Will Levis. But that expectation is going to be different than what the actual expectation is, because there's been so much hoopla about grabbing it. But to think he is the, quote, franchise quarterback, that's way too high of something to shoot. If that happens, that'd be awesome. But the percentage chance, you looking at Joe's article, that mm-hmm. how I read into it is the history of quarterbacks picked in the second round, the likelihood is low that you're going to get Jalen Hurts or Drew Brees. Could happen. That'd be awesome. But realistically, it's probably somewhere fall short, you know, well short of that. But there's a lot of levels, right? He could be a good starter for you for a few years. Could be.
Right. And I do think that that's fair. And I look at it, too. What are fair expectations given the history of the league? And what does he need to be? What does this franchise need him to be? To say that he can't, the expectations shouldn't be franchise quarterback, because that's not necessarily fair, I think is fair to say. But I think the Titans drafted him with the intentions of him being the quarterback of the future. So what are fair expectations, and what are the expectations that the Titans need him to have? We'll get into that coming up next. Plus, Willie's breakdown in the list of the second-round quarterbacks, kind of comparing that to what we can project for Will Levis. We'll get into that coming up next. And, of course, your thoughts as well, 615-737-1025. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, Tim Hasbeck will join us in just shy of 1 hour. 1025-1063 The Game.
Competition will play itself out. Is there a scenario where you keep three quarterbacks through the season? Or?
Of course. I mean, there's a million scenarios, you know, that we'll have to work through, you know, between me, Ran, and the staff, and myself, and everybody. I mean, that's, you know, we just are starting the offseason. We're 2 weeks into the offseason program. Looking forward to phase two with the players that come on Monday. And then when we're able to get the rookies in here with the rookie minicamp.
That was Mike Vrabel on the quarterback situation. And Mike Vrabel came out and said, Will Levis is quarterback three, which he has to say that. That's kind of the politicking. I don't buy it. But, Willie, you have gathered a list of second-round quarterbacks. This is in the last 23 years, since 2000.
Since 2001.
Since 2001.
Yeah, okay. I'll read you the list, and you guys give it a grade. Mm-hmm. We'll say A through F, just like you're grading, you know, your student's exam or something like that. Okay,
hey,
I don't grade on curves. Y'all should just
Straight up grade.
What I said to my son
when he's like, "Dad, I got a B." I'm like, "We didn't pay for a B, did we? We ain't paying for a B."
And in this context, I personally think that the Titans drafted Will Levis, and the expectations are that Will Levis will ultimately become the franchise quarterback. Willie thinks that those aren't fair expectations for a second-round quarterback. So kind of looking at the history of some second-round quarterbacks, what are the fair expectations?
Okay, let's work backwards. So 2021, Kyle Trask. To be determined, right? It's incomplete.
Well, I guess it would be incomplete.
But as we sit here today, I don't see the Bucs looking at their future and saying, yep, Kyle Trask is going to be our guy.
Well, right now he has an incomplete because he hadn't finished all the assignments. And I'm close to failing him because I've given him a date and a time where he needs to turn him in.
Was he taken in the second round?
Second round picks.
Really?
Yep.
Huh. Mm. Yeah, inconclusive.
2020, Jalen Hurts.
A.
Okay, I think we all agree on that one. So now let's go 2019. Drew Lock.
I get an F.
D.
He looked bad when he played. He wasn't good.
Doesn't look like he's going to turn into much more.
No. Either, right? He's done nothing.
Didn't he get traded?
Yeah, he got traded to Seattle.
In the Russell Wilson trade.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah.
So he's been two places. He's had chances to play.
He's had chances to start.
Straight up F.
Okay, I mean, that's harsh, but because he's made it to a point where he at least is on the field playing. but you're still giving him an F. Like to me, an F to me is you never see the field.
Well,
because that's you'll see. Listen,
I give an F because he did see the field.
Okay,
and he didn't see. I told you, I grade harsh, okay. Man.
Well, you're gonna have a lot of Fs. You're gonna have a lot of Fs when you see this list.
I think Drew Lock is a backup, and I think that's D worthy. He's a backup.
Okay. See, then that's the thing. What this all comes back to your expectations. If you have a backup that plays in the year for what, that's something. That's better than a guy that's just a discarded waste of a pick like Isaiah Wilson. Like that's an F. Right?
I'd rather have Drew Locke than Malik Willis.
Okay,
so
but Professor Derek.
Y'all didn't come into the office. Yeah. The other student didn't came into the office like Professor Mason. I mean, he's trying. You know, All right, I give him a D.
Oh, D-Mace, the softy over here.
That's right. So everybody in their little suites and dorms are like, don't take Derek Mason. Professor Mason, he's tough, man.
He's really tough.
He'll flunk you, man. He's going to flunk you. Don't take that. Take Caroline. She's much easier. Willie, he'll give you an A every time, man. Take him.
Oh, man.
All right, so now we go to 2017. There were none in 2018. Deshaun Kizer. Now, there's an F.
There's an F.
Now, Deshaun Kizer was nice to me at the Nashville Celebrity Softball Tournament.
You going
to
pass him?
I will give him an F, but he is a nice guy.
Okay, a nice guy.
So he gets an F, but with a sticker on his test.
Okay, very nice.
No relation to me whatsoever. It's not even said the same.
Different spelling.
Yes, different.
Yeah, he gets an F.
Different name.
2016, from Penn State, Christian Hackenberg, Jets.
Don't even know who that is. F.
I know who it is. F.
I mean, he was pretty good college quarterback.
Yeah.
Second round pick.
And I liked him when he came out of college.
And I don't know this. Is he still in the league? I feel like he still might be bouncing around on somebody's practice squad somewhere.
I'm not sure.
Probably on a practice squad somewhere, but nowhere impactful enough for us to know where that is.
2014, there were two. Derek Carr, Jimmy Garoppolo.
I give them both Bs.
Okay.
I give Carr a C. I give Garoppolo a C+, B-.
Well, actually, I actually take that back. I gave Jalen Hurts an A.
Mm-hmm.
I'm giving Jimmy Garoppolo a B. They've each achieved the same things. They've each gotten to a Super Bowl. I think with Jalen Hurts, it's a lot more recency bias. And for Jimmy Garoppolo, we've looked at him now as like kind of becoming a backup. So I don't think that was fair of me. I say if you get your team to the Super Bowl but have yet to win one, that's a B+ to me.
So this is, again, Will Levis is your second round pick.
Mm-hmm.
If you told me right now he would have the career. Now, Garoppolo's interesting because he's been injured and out of the mix mm-hmm. for a lot of time, right? But when he's played, he's won a lot of games.
Mm-hmm.
Derek Carr is a pretty reliable, available guy who wasn't one big. He's a good quarterback. So, if Will Levis did exactly somewhere in that neighborhood of what those, to me, that's a pretty successful second round pick.
Yeah.
We're just going through this list. So keep those two in mind. You got your grades there.
Mm-hmm.
Geno Smith, 2013, Jets.
You know what?
Now that's a unique
because
one.
Because what he.
Thrown into the mix early, then mm-hmm. disappeared for, I don't know, 5 years?
Yeah, he got drafted by the wrong team, I believe. And then it's sort of like he's one of those guys where he does really bad, like he does D- work for the first semester.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get to him and you say, listen, this is what you need to do. And then he does it and comes back and his overall ends up being like a C+. So I give him a C. I give him a C.
I'm giving him a C too.
Okay. And it's interesting because he's still going.
Yeah, exactly.
Can he build off of what he did last year? Is he one of those late bloomers, a Jim Plunkett mm-hmm. or a Rich Gannon? There are a few guys like that who all of a sudden figure it out when they're later
Kurt
in their
Warner.
Careers.
Kurt Warner.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think Geno's an average starter in the league.
Okay.
An average quarterback, so you get a C. He's average. Yeah.
But he got a team to the playoffs mm-hmm. last year that was not expected to go to the playoffs. I thought that was an excellent season by him last year.
And I know that this quarterback wasn't a second round pick. He was a first round pick, but Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
I think we call him kind of an average quarterback, but did the same thing. Got his team to the playoffs with a team that really wasn't expected to make the playoffs.
But that's the sixth pick overall. To me, goes back to expectations. You draft a guy in the second round. So Geno Smith, if we'd have done this in 2020, he probably got an F.
Yeah.
Right? Uh-huh. So he's raised his grade a lot.
He did.
So, okay, next up, 2012, Brock Osweiler,
F.
Denver.
F.
Okay.
Yeah, F.
I can't. To me, it's probably a D because he played. He got on the field. You're going to see.
But then he just went, there's some other. So
he didn't do well. Crashed and burned. Expectations were there for a while. Next up on the list, 2011. Two guys. Andy Dalton, Colin Kaepernick.
I would give Andy Dalton a B. I mean, he had a long starting career in the NFL.
And he's still active, still playing in the league.
Yeah. Where is he now? He's a backup somewhere, isn't he?
He was backing up somewhere last year. He played last year.
He was in New Orleans. And then...
Is he still in New Orleans?
No. They've got so many quarterbacks in that room. They got Derek Carr, Jameis. I don't know where
but this is all Andy gravy Dalton's for him. Exactly. But Andy Dalton was a solid starter, playoff guy for years. Again, keep your vision of what you think Will Levis could do. If Will Levis did what Andy Dalton did, that's not bad. That's not bad, Andy, relative to this list that we're still going. There's some other lists.
I give Andy a C because if I give him... if I give him higher than a C plus, then that means I have to get Colin Kaepernick higher than that because it took his team to a Super Bowl.
Okay.
But his career wasn't long, and we all know why, but his career wasn't long. So do I penalize Andy Dalton for having a longer career or penalize Colin Kaepernick for having a short career?
Yeah, and then there's the whole where Kaepernick's career could have gone. But at his height, Kaepernick was a really –
He was a good quarterback.
Super Bowl.
Yep.
Okay. So that's a real two very interesting ones. Second round.
Yeah.
Okay. 2010. Jimmy Clausen.
F.
Yeah. He was even almost an F at.
I think he was on some rosters as a backup for a long time, but
he was like a D at Tennessee.
Never started.
So he didn't actually fell. He went down a grade.
Okay.
I had him a D at UT. But
2009.
0.0 grade point average.
2009, Pat White, Miami.
Pat never played in an NFL game, ever. I don't think he has.
F.
It's got to be an F, right?
Yeah, it's an F.
Okay. Green Bay, 2008, Brian Brom.
F. Louisville quarterback, F. Yeah. He never was going to get a grade anyway because he was always going to be behind Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, I mean, that is interesting, but I think if you're good enough to play, you end up somewhere
team. Yeah, no, you're right.
2008, Chad Henne, Miami, still playing.
Chad is interesting.
I would think it's a C.
Okay.
He's still playing, backing up Patrick Mahomes. He has a career.
So he won a playoff game.
This point, we have one A that you've given out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Jalen Hurts, right? He's the only A to this point. Drew?
Yeah, I think I kind of walked it back a little bit because it wasn't fair with Jimmy Garoppolo, but I stand by it. He's an A.
So let's run through the Kevin Cobb.
Oh, Chad Henning just retired. So
okay, but Chad Henne had some late great moments backing up. Career backup. Couple of starting years for bad teams, mm-hmm. right? Starter for a bad team, backup for a good team.
Mm-hmm.
Chad Henne. So to me, that's a C.
Yeah.
Okay, Kevin Cobb. Remember him?
Yeah, Philadelphia.
Kind of crashed and burned, injured, couldn't stay on the field. A couple good games.
F.
John Beck, Miami.
F.
Drew Stanton, Detroit, 2007.
A.
and where did he play college ball?
I don't know.
Not Michigan, I can tell you that.
Say it with me now. Go green.
Go white.
Drew Stanton. Oh, that was perfect. Okay, there are six more. And then with the exercises
is complete.
Got rapid fire. No need to discuss most of these. Kellen Clemens.
F.
Don't even know who that is.
Jets. Tavares Jackson.
F.
F.
Drew Brees.
A plus.
Quincy Carter.
C.
That's
minus.
Generous.
C minus.
That's generous.
C minus.
That's generous. You must like C Quincy minus. Or something. He didn't play that much.
He had some good games with Dallas. Some, not many.
Okay. I'm going to let you guys reassess now that once you heard the whole list. And then the last one is Marquise Tuiasosopo.
Who?
Was he Washington's quarterback? Oh, the Huskies.
Oakland. No, yeah. Huskies. University of Washington. Yeah. Yep.
University of Washington. Oakland. He played a few games with the Raiders, right?
Yeah, back he got then. In there a little
yeah.
bit.
Yeah. All right. Yeah,
D.
D minus.
Hell no.
Okay, so then. So we see the list. There are 20. So that's 23 guys since 2001. And you guys gave out two A's.
Yeah.
One was a little generous, I
yeah,
think.
Yeah, mine was a little generous.
Well, because you gave out three A's.
Yeah.
Oh, Drew Brees and Jalen Hurts.
Drew Brees and Jalen Hurts are the only two franchise quarterbacks
exactly.
in the last 23 years to become franchise. Now, there's some other really intriguing names, but there's also some absolute zeros, right? Some Fs.
Totally. And some names that I honestly don't even recognize.
Okay. Yeah. So in 10 years, if somebody does this in Seattle, you know, or 15 years, and they say, Will Levis. I don't remember him. F. Like, he won't be alone on this list.
It's an interesting exercise. Yeah. And I want to react to that coming up next and your thoughts as well. Caroline Willie DeMace, 1025-1063, the game.
So how this usually happens, so just to kind of give people a peek into the inside baseball of something like that gets rolled out, is when you're a draft analyst or really anybody and you're working on draft, you end up talking to a lot of general managers about players and trying to understand who's interested in who. And more often than not, the way you find out who's interested in what is you will hear, this team is trying to find a potential landing spot for this player they already have. So that player would be Ryan Tannehill. That's where this comes from. You say, well, how would he know that, where would this start, that the Titans are interested in a quarterback? Well, usually that comes out not because the Titans call around telling people they're interested in a quarterback. They call around asking, are you interested in Ryan Tannehill? Doesn't necessarily mean they're shopping him. It's more of a pocket listing. You're trying to figure out, hey, if there's a quarterback there we like, if we can either move for a quarterback, someone slips that we like and we can trade and get in the right range, do we have a spot to potentially lay off the current starter that we have who would no longer factor into our plans? Because if you draft a quarterback and then try to move Ryan Tannehill after, you've lost any leverage you have whatsoever. So what you do is before the draft, you start figuring out, are there landing spots if this ultimately works out?
That was Charles Robinson, and we'll get into the future of Ryan Tannehill, the future of the quarterback position. We'll get into that, but we're reacting to Willie's reading of the list of the second-round quarterbacks that have been taken since 2001, and there are a whole lot more C's, D's, and E's, F's than there were A's and B's.
In Florida, when I moved to Florida, they gave E's and not F's.
I don't know why really, they just skip over E's.
We got E's, too.
We got E's.
I didn't get F's. Until I got in college, I got an F, one F.
Or as we called it in the dorms, the flag.
Yeah.
I flagged it.
So there are a little more busts than there have been booms, at least from quarterbacks taken in the second round.
Yeah. When I read that list, any thought of me saying, oh, yeah, just hand Will Levis the keys and let him be the starter the first day. Get rid of Tannehill. Let's go to Levis. He's the next guy. I would hold off after reading that list.
I will read you a list.
Oh, you have a list.
I have a list.
Okay. I listed you. You got to list me.
Mitch Trubisky. Baker Mayfield.
Okay.
Sam Darnold. Marcus Mariota. Kyler Murray. Carson Wentz. Jared Goff. First-round quarterbacks.
Yeah, hot. Well, those are all high first-round quarterbacks. Those are top five picks.
First, second overall taking quarterbacks.
Yeah.
So this is my point being, I don't care. Like, I don't care if Will Levis was a second-round pick. I don't care if it was a first-round pick, so on and so forth. The pick, when you were taken, yes, it matters. You know, the fifth-year option and the expectations, those things do matter.
The investment. The investment of the first-round pick.
Yeah. Yes, 100%. But I also look at it like the Tennessee Titans in their certain situation, the position that they're in now, they need their franchise quarterback of the future. That's what they wanted to get in this year's draft. They're going to be moving on from Ryan Tannehill after 2023. They want to be able to compete against the Mahomes and the Burrows and the Allens and the Aaron Rodgers and the, all the great quarterbacks in the AFC. So looking at the past and looking at history, yes, it's all a very fair argument to say, hey, maybe it's not the fairest thing to expect that from Will Levis, because so few second-round quarterbacks in the last 20-plus years have been able to achieve that. But what the Titans need from Will Levis is to be the Jalen Hurts and the Drew Breeses of the second-round quarterbacks.
It would be great. I'm just saying, look at history. Look at your what's the percentage chance? If it happens, great. But what I like is there is less fallout. There's less of a penalty. Not that there isn't a penalty, but there's less of a penalty if you miss on the second-round pick as opposed to Trubisky, Darnold, or somebody even worse. You trade up to get Trubisky, Darnold.
In the first round.
Of those guys you said, people traded up gave up next year's first-round pick to get. Mm-hmm. You know, what's the trade-off there? That's a much bigger investment than just taking pick. Now, the Titans did trade up to get Levis, but so it's a third round. It's a pick
second
they won't have
near. Second and a third round pick.
Well, it's a flop of the second. They didn't trade their second. They flipped the second.
Yes, and they flipped the third.
Flipped the third.
But it's a third round pick next year as well.
Yeah.
In 2024. Yeah. So it's
less of a price.
Your second round pick that you used on Levis and then also your third round pick next year. So it's less of a draft stock price. Mm-hmm. And it's less of a draft investment. But I think that this is an investment into the future. Because if Will Levis doesn't pan out, you could say, well, he was a second-round pick. So it's, you know, it's not the same as a first-round pick, a top-five pick, what the Carolina Panthers invested for Bryce Young, you know, kind of leveraging their future in order to trade up to get him. Now, Carolina, you're looking at Carolina, like Bryce Young needs to pan out. But I just look at the state of this franchise, and I look at the state of the AFC, and although the draft investment into Will Levis wasn't the same as maybe some first-round quarterbacks, the franchise investment still is the same.
Yeah, I think it is. Whether, at least for this franchise, like you were saying, Caroline, mm-hmm. whether he was drafted in the first or, you know, obviously he was a second-round pick, I think the expectations that this organization, I wouldn't be surprised that they have, that the expectations are you are our future quarterback. Mm-hmm. You are our franchise quarterback. Because if you just look at the landscape of quarterbacks, and this – I love it because I can't remember a time when the AFC or the NFC really, but let's just say the AFC has been this sort of quote unquote stacked at quarterback. Allen, Tua, you look at Mac Jones, okay, whatever. He's a good quarterback. He might be better this year.
Again,
now with a offensive coordinator.
Yeah. So keep thinking in terms of if Will Levis gave you X, mm-hmm. Mac Jones would be a good one. Two is a good one. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of levels, mm-hmm. right, below, quote, franchise quarterback, which is the jackpot. That's the grand slam. Mm-hmm. But what would you take? It's not bad. Like Mike Jones could end up like he gets better.
I think he gets better now that they have a offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
But you look at then Aaron Rodgers, you got Lamar, you got Burrow, you got Watson,
Herbert,
you got Stroud, you got Richardson, Trevor Lawrence, obviously Ryan Tannehill's here. Wilson, I think he's going to be better under Sean Payton. Mahomes, Garoppolo, and Herbert. This gauntlet, I don't think there's really, if you look at it, and I forgot one quarterback, Pittsburgh's quarterback.
Kenny Pickett.
Pickett still, there's a question mark mm-hmm. for Pickett. But if you look at these quarterbacks, minus the AFC South, because all of these quarterbacks are new quarterbacks with the exception of Tannehill that possibly will be starting this year, we hope. That Richardson doesn't have to start, but if he does, then okay. But if you look at the AFC period, taking out the AFC South, this is why I believe the Titans, they have an expectation. I mean, they have an expectation for all their players. But I think for Will Levis, the expectation is you're our guy. Like, you're our franchise quarterback because they're looking at the landscape of quarterbacks in the AFC. And if you don't find your quarterback, you're going to have to do other things very, very well to excellent.
Elite defense.
Exactly. To overcome not having that quarterback. Mm-hmm. And they almost did it a few years ago, even though we believe that Ryan Tannehill is a good quarterback. They were almost able, because of their defense and run game, to overcome that. Almost. Mm-hmm. But they didn't. So, looking at this gauntlet of quarterbacks, you draft him in the second round, but you have first round expectations of
first
him.
Round hype,
exactly.
Second round quarterback.
Yeah,
but to me that's what I'm trying to couch is I'm giving you the data, I'm giving you the history. Anybody can set their own expectation level. I'm just saying let's be realistic and not be idealistic. Idealistically, he ends up being the perfect pick and ends up having that special
NFL
quality.
The NFL is not realistic at times.
I know.
I mean, idealistic. They're not idealistic. They are more of the other, you know.
Well, I think they should be more realistic based on the history, but I think sometimes there's so much hype about the quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. I'll give you another investment part of this, right, is the salary cap.
Let's get into that on the other side.
You're not investing huge salary cap. You've got time to figure this out.
You've got time. You can evaluate Will Levis. And, Willie, there was something that you said that I 100% agree with. And as we're talking about Will Levis's expectations, I think we need to look at it under two different microscopes. Your one expectations and career expectations. And we'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mays, 1025, 1063, The Game. Hey, Joe, 1025, The Game for the second annual Music City Celebrity Golf Tournament presented by Gary Force Acura, benefiting Souls for Souls on June 7th at Hermitage Golf Course. Put your team together and come play with athletes, musicians, and other local celebrities to support a great cause and have loads of fun doing it. Plus, you'll have the chance to win awesome prizes, so sign up to play, sponsor, or donate at thegamenashville.com/golf. Breaking down Will Levis, the expectations for Will Levis. I believe, and I stand by, the Titans' expectation for Will Levis is that he will ultimately become the franchise quarterback.
How do you define franchise quarterback?
Like, he is going to be the starter for this team for the next 5 to 10 years, and this team's going to be competitive. Consistently in conversation for, you know, winning the division, consistently making the playoffs. I don't need him to win the Super Bowl and be Super Bowl MVP every single year. But I think that if Will Levis at least meets or exceeds what Ryan Tannehill has achieved in his tenure so far with the Tennessee Titans, I would consider that, and for an extended period of time, Will Levis being the franchise quarterback of the Tennessee Titans.
That's a pretty lofty goal, you would admit. That's a pretty lofty goal. That's a great hope. That's a great goal. That's idealistic to me.
But
that is not realistic.
I think that that's what the Titans did. That's the expectation that they set when they drafted him. Because if they would have looked at Will Levis and thought,
then they're likely to fail.
He's
likely to come up short based on the history of those expectations.
Well, then I think that this franchise is going to be in a really, really bad position for the next 5 to 10 years if that is the case.
But we've listed off a ton of teams that have invested a first or a second round pick of a quarterback that hasn't worked out. But life goes on, right? You just have to keep trying.
You lose games and people lose their jobs, but you do move on.
But I'm saying it happens more often than it doesn't happen.
Well, I mean, teams are going, regardless of...
You got to try. You got to take your swing.
Yeah, regardless if the quarterback works or not, teams are going to move on. That's just, I mean,
you have to.
The first couple of years may be rough,
yeah.
But then after a while you kind of get through it and you just hope it doesn't last too long.
Indianapolis
is the same way. They went through years of having great quarterback play, and then all of a sudden Andrew Luck retires, and now other than Phillip Rivers, they've been trying to look for that guy to, you know, get them back, and they hope they found it in Richardson to get them back to consistently competing. And that's what, you know, when you say, well, what is a franchise quarterback? The criteria for a franchise quarterback, obviously that leadership is up there, and, you know, and all those other things, those intangibles, like you really can't coach, they got to have. But then I think, you know, is your team consistently winning? We know how hard the AFC is now.
Mm-hmm.
If you're consistently putting your team in your franchise in a position to win, to go to the playoffs, to have a shot at the Super Bowl, to me, that is a franchise quarterback. Because if that is indeed the case, teams typically are not going to walk away from a guy that is putting you in that position. Now, we may, that's why they haven't walked away completely from Ryan Tannehill, because he has put them for the last 5 years, with the exception of last year, and we know why that happened, but he's put them in that position where they were always either winning the South, mm-hmm. was basically really winning the South since he's taken over as quarterback, right. with the exception of last year, winning the South, getting a playoff spot, and being in that talk about teams that can realistically win, get to the Super Bowl and win it. Ryan has done that for the Tennessee Titans.
But he's not a franchise quarterback.
I never say he wasn't.
I don't think anybody would sit here and say Ryan Tannehill is a franchise quarterback.
He's been a franchise quarterback.
He's a very good quarterback.
He's been a franchise because we got to understand his career was 9 years before he got here, or what was it, 8, 9, somewhere around there, before he got here. So I would say, with the exception of last year, the minute he became the starter, this team instantly got better. He was their franchise quarterback. Now they've gotten to a point where, you know, older players they've left, and now they're retooling. This team is getting younger. He's getting older. It was unfortunate for him because he came here.
See, I thought you were the tough professor. I thought you were the tough professor.
He was already in his late 20s going on 30s.
That's why I asked you guys your definition of, quote, franchise quarterback, because that term gets thrown out a lot there. But to me, a franchise quarterback is Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, a very elite class.
Well, there's really only like three.
Well, I'm going to say four. To me, the number in a given year is usually between 8 and 10. If you stretch it a little bit, so that means there are 20 to 22 teams every year that don't have the franchise quarterback. Now you've all of a sudden, Mason has
what
gotten lax.
No, he's throwing franchise quarterback for Ryan Tannehill.
He's never been a franchise quarterback.
You're missing.
He's been a very good quarterback.
You're missing what I'm saying.
That's why I'm trying to get the definition, because you guys are throwing out franchise quarterback. That's the highest of the high.
Didn't I just say? It's not the highest of the high, because it goes to your being idealistic and realistic, yes. and expectations. What are they? For the Tennessee Titans, had they drafted Ryan Tannehill when he first came out of college, and if he had the 8 that he had in, what was it, 7 or 8 he had in Miami, then the 5 he had here,
yeah.
6.
It would have been so kind of a hit or miss.
Like, you know, 14, 15, 16, somewhere around there. If he's been a starter, he's a franchise quarterback. If your franchise has been in a position to make the playoffs, been in a position to make it to the Super Bowl, not to say they didn't, because even with a franchise quarterback, things got to happen. Patrick Mahomes, what did everybody argue about with him? Well, if they wouldn't have called the penalty getting pushed out of bounds, he wouldn't have made it. There were other circumstances involved, even though.
Okay, but then you should have given Andy Dalton a higher grade than you gave him.
I gave him a C.
Ryan Tannehill and Andy Dalton have had some similar things.
No, Ryan has taken his team to AFC Championship game. Andy Dalton hasn't.
We're kind of dicing words here. My overall point is, Will Levis, I think, was drafted with the expectation to be a franchise quarterback. And I define that as the starter for 5 to 10 years, and you're consistently competitive. And I don't care if he was taken in the second round. I believe that he was taken with that expectation that he is going to be the long-term starter for this football team, and he's going to win games for this football team, and he's going to keep this football team competitive. And if he can't do that, then you lose. We will get to Tim Hasselbeck coming up next. ESPN NFL analyst Caroline Willie-DeMace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.